Testing 1, 2, 3. There we go. Okay, let's just start off by stating your full name.
Oh, Victor O'Connor.
And your date and place of birth.
Halifax, 24th of May, 1913.
Okay, so when did you first attend St. Mary's?
Well, it was 1929. I came from St. Pat's High School, grade 11. I went into first year arts. It was a combined first year arts and engineering, actually, in the class. I was there for 3 years in the engineering diploma course. Left there with my diploma in 1932.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. So it was the Irish Christian Brothers then?
Yes. There was two sections of St. Mary's then. The collegiate, which is the high school, 9, 10, 11 grades, and the college section, which gave a 4-year arts course and a 3-year engineering diploma course.
Mm-hmm. There was no commerce then?
No, no, not that time. No, it started science, Bachelor of Science had been given to one or two people. But there wasn't sufficient numbers for both science classes. Commerce came later.
So what were the size of your classes about?
In the first year arts, we had about 24, I think, altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And but 12 of us went on to engineering. The rest went on to arts, or some of them actually went off to other places, or they left for other reasons, residence or reason.
So there were students, were there boarder students at the time?
Yes, there were boarders at the college, yes, yeah. From around the province and from Newfoundland.
Oh.
The brothers taught in Newfoundland, and they had no university there, full university. It was a Memorial College, which gave a diploma, a degree in engineering. But I don't know, used to be several from Newfoundland, but they were passed on by the brothers from Newfoundland.
They went to high school up there and then came to see. So what were the family backgrounds, basically, of the students at the school?
Well, it covered the full range. People who could afford to go and people who had to work their way through.
Mm-hmm.
It covered the range. And then the tuition wasn't very high. It was $60 a year for the tuition fee.
Mm-hmm. That must have been quite a lot, though, in the 30s.
Well, yes. I wouldn't have been able to afford it, except that I got a scholarship.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there were many families that were working their way through. They weren't denied an education, I don't think, because of their financial situation, particularly.
Yeah. Okay, what were the academic courses like that you were taking? What type of courses did you have to take?
Well, I think we had more fuller courses or more numbers of courses than they do now. And we had French, English, Latin, religion, chemistry, physics, philosophy,
That was engineer's course,
I think. For the full year. Philosophy, I think, was split up into two terms. Basic philosophy, the first term, and metaphysics, the second term.
I see.
And there are different instructors. And for that instructor, they had borrowed a priest from the diocese to give that course.
So
most of the brothers gave the courses. Well, they did branch out, and some of their graduates worked there shortly after I left there as instructors.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jim Ryan, who became dean of engineering at St. Mary's, taught there. There were others.
And so what was the workload like?
Well, it was a workload of 7 courses.
Was it heavy? A lot expected of you in your courses?
Oh,
or?
Pretty full, yes. It's hard to remember what to now that's as to actually what was entailed with the courses. I couldn't.
Do you have homework?
Couldn't remember that. Oh, some, I guess, but mostly was making book precis or things of that nature. You had to study up for other books. We had mathematics too in that.
Oh, yeah.
Not good. That's another one.
So, there were exams, were there?
Oh, yes, yeah. Exams were fairly rigid and graded. That was a normal practice, it still is.
That never goes away, I don't think.
No.
What were some of the rules and regulations put on you as a student?
I don't know. You had to be there for attendance. That was a main thing, I think. And we had they started the first class with a prayer. It started a little bit earlier. We were used to that because we had the same thing in the public schools here at that time. St. Patrick's used to go 15 minutes early for religion, but you had to be neatly dressed. There's no laid down restriction, though. You expected to be neatly dressed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Remember any particular rules.
What was the discipline like?
I don't recall any need for discipline as in the normal context.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew they were there for a purpose and they came there to learn. The onus is upon you, to learn. Was lucky, you were lucky if you had a teacher who could help you learn. And so,
yeah.
But the onus is on the student actually to extract that learning.
So what type of recreational activities went on outside the class?
Sports. We had a fairly good-sized field there and a racetrack, a quarter-mile racetrack laid out in there. That's where St. Patrick's High School is now, in the corner there. And rugby and hockey. And we had the Roram, it was called. It was an ice rink. It was a natural ice, so you had to wait for a cold night to get any ice. That's where they practiced, really. They didn't play much official games there. There was no spectator room in it or anything like that. There was handball courts. They were very active. The Irish brothers, a lot of the brothers were from Ireland. They had been brought up on playing handball anyway. So they got in that. It was tennis courts. We had usually put on one or two drama shows, plays or something during the year. We put out the magazine, monthly, the Collegian. And what else? All the Sodalities, Holy Name Society, and I think something else too.
Was there any type of student government?
No, no, not as such. No formal government, no. No. There was a. Remember at that time, we had a new bishop here. Came here, Bishop O'Donnell. And he put a ban on any dances in that being associated with the name of a saint. Of course, St. Mary's. So that put a cap on the. We used to have one or two dances. The arts would have one. The engineers would have one or two. Mm-hmm. Tended to put a cap on it anyway, but there was some ingenuity and different societies were formed. The arts formed the Tau Gamma Sigma at the time. It was rumored that meant Totium Gehenna Sapientiae, to hell with all learning. It was aping the fraternity societies, Phi Kappa Phi, and that, but so they chose Tau Gamma Sigma. We weren't so learned in the engineers, so but we had a very enterprising chap, John Summers, who said, "Well, we'll form the Owls Club," which is. That stemmed from a cartoon that used to run in the paper at that time. And he made up a motto for us. Grum Weimus Crustus. And he said, "That'll fool them. They won't know what that is," because it didn't have any meaning. It was just just his own mind that made it up. And then we put on our dances under the Aegis of the Owls Club.
So did girls come over from the convent or the dances?
Well, dances weren't held at the college. There was no room there actually that would be amenable to holding dances. So other facilities had to be used. Either halls or something of that nature. We rented for the occasion.
Mm-hmm. So was there any type of graduation ceremonies after you graduated?
Well, we had convocations, yes. Yeah.
Did they take place right at the college? Or?
Pardon?
Did they take place right at the college? Or somewhere?
Yes. There was a bit of an assembly room that would accommodate that. And that's where we would put on plays as well.
Right.
At a stage, but was never used for dances, I recall. Mm-hmm. But we had the convocation there.
So, what were the physical facilities available at St. Mary's? It was a small building, was it?
Well, the building is where St. Vincent Gestos is now, and four stories in a basement. It was about The width, I guess, of the present St. Vincent's home here. And there was one wooden building way up in on the corner of Quinper Road and Windsor Street, across the field. And that was used as partly for boarders.
Oh, yeah.
And the Brother Superior at the time there, he was the one that came there and established it too, for that matter, was Brother Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
So that wooden building got the name of Sterling Castle.
So you're saying he came 13 years before that? To establish it?
16 years.
16 years before you got there?
1913, the brothers came.
Mm-hmm.
At the invitation of the diocese and the KSC. Knights of Columbus were part of the backing of it. There had been other St. Mary's before. The diocesan priests used to teach the established St. Mary's. And before them, there had been, but not on the university level, just on the high school level. Mm-hmm. And before them, there had been another order of brothers. My father attended that in 1871. And we still have receipts for tuition for one quarter, $4. That was the tuition fee.
Oh my! Mm-hmm.
The year was they had split their year up into quarters, but that's where the history of St. Mary's goes back to. They claim it goes back so far, but in those original days, it was really a collegiate.
So when did it become a university, a college?
1913, with the brothers.
Did they start in that building, or had classes been taught in that building by the priests before
then? No, the building was built new at that time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the actual history of its building, but I presume it was built for the occasion.
Mm-hmm. So, what was it in good shape when you were there?
Oh, reasonable, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was accommodation for the teaching brothers and a number of boarders and a dining room for them and as well as the classrooms and the small chapel and the assembly room and the offices. I don't know, the professors, the brothers didn't have the offices of their own, like every professor now demands and expects.
Yeah.
There was only about one office in the whole building, I think. When you met with the brothers, you usually met them in the corridors, and whereas you would now go to their office and bone them about something you'd missed. Or
yeah.
It was quite often in the corridors or outside the building. You would get together with them.
Mm-hmm.
They mixed in well with the sports too.
You play? Did you play with them, with the brothers?
Oh, for handball and tennis. Yeah. They didn't. They didn't play in the competitive teams. The football and the hockey.
So did St. Mary's play against other colleges around? Down.
Well, not so much. No, more the high schools because they're bigger. So there was some. The hockey did. They had a hockey team from the college.
Mm-hmm.
But the bigger number of students were in the collegiate.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't. The graduating year of BAs, one with sometimes three, sometimes five. Not much more than that.
Not enough to make too many of teams.
No. There was a few more engineers than there were arts, actually.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So after you finished your diploma of engineering, did you go on to tech?
Yes, when St. Mary's had, was part of the agreement with tech with the other colleges, Dalhousie and St. Mary's, St. Francis Xavier, and Mount Allison, that they would accept diploma graduates at, from these colleges to, at tech for the final 2 years of engineering. That's it was a general course. It was common. The curriculum was common amongst the associated universities for the 3 years. But when you went to tech, you decided upon your specialty, civil, electrical, mechanical, or mining at that time.
Oh, yeah.
It was only the four.
What did you do?
Mechanical engineering, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me see. Are there any events or incidents that stand out in your mind when you think back?
Well, there was another thing that developed during the period of it, I was there. These are in the late 20s and early 30s. Most of the universities had a CODC, Canadian Officers Training Corps, which provided them actually with some money and also the students with some money. They got paid, 60 cents a day for their parents or something at a training session. Mm-hmm. But St. Mary's didn't have one. But Nova Scotia Tech did. So the students come from the other universities would come to Tech, and they would have had some previous CODC experience. And our people didn't. So again, John Summers, the enterpriser, knew some officers in the militia here, and particularly two officers that were in the anti-aircraft, Prince Halifax anti-aircraft, and they had lost all of their men in their unit. And John Summers made a deal with them that if they would take on all the engineers from students from St. Mary's and not take anybody else, we would form a unit for them. and that went on. We chain firing anti-aircraft guns, and then in the summer we had a 2 week session down Fort McNabb and Sandwich Battery, which had an anti-aircraft gun. And we fired it there. I believe that went on for several years, that association. They'd, probably until they moved to the new college, and there was they did form a CODC and a UNTD then.
UNTD?
Mm-hmm.
What's UNT?
Oh, University Naval Training Division.
Oh.
Which has been restarted again recently, I think, and had lapsed after the war.
Yeah. Anything else that you remember?
Well, I enjoyed all the time there, and certainly enjoyed the brothers, and certainly held them in great respect. My next oldest brother was more concerned with them. He joined the order upon graduation, Brother Edward. He graduated in 1930. He had preceded me in attending St. Mary's. And I think he was manager of the hockey team that first achieved a victory out of St. Avex. That was always a beat the X. It was always a, and still is, I think, the big rivalry between. But he joined the order and went to the States, in New York, where we had the training division up the Hudson River in West Park. And later on, he was in charge of Westpark for a number of years. I do believe, too, that he was the first college graduate that they had recruited. Usually the brothers recruited from high schools. And that was the practice in Ireland, carried on within the North American province, too. But they only taught in the schools. They didn't have, St. Mary's was the first university college that they had.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. They have a successor to it now in New Rochelle, Iona College. And that was started with the group of professors that were replaced by the Jesuits when they took over in 1941.
I see, they moved down there.
Yeah, and they started the new college in New Rochelle because they had all this, they had built up a cadre of educated and PhDs and whatnot, mm-hmm. and it was more than they needed for their high schools.
Yeah. They've gone on and got more education, have they?
Oh, yes, well, they hadn't needed so much until they had a university. It wasn't the practice then to have PhDs in high schools.
No. There weren't even many PhDs around at all. Let alone in high school. That's good. Well, that's everything.
Okay.